I tell you what, I have such a warm feeling this morning. I just feel like we should just turn up crack open a fire here and pop some corn, or I don't know. I just have such a cozy feeling with you this morning. Maybe it's the rain that just brings us together and unites us this morning.
Bring on the s'mores.
Bring on the s'mores. I'm sure we have some in the kitchen somewhere. Well, Paul and I have been working on the parable series, and we have basically finished that. We may revisit it again next year sometime, and we hope that you find it as enriching as we did. You know, when someone says to us that they found pleasure and they found meaning in the message, that means a great deal to us, because Paul and I will never waste your time up here. We will never share anything with you that isn't meaningful and didn't speak to our hearts. So we deeply appreciate your feedback, because we try to truly hold on to the Spirit's guidance and to watch closely where the Spirit is working amongst you, to watch and to hear your stories, to know your testimonies. And thank you, Jan, again for sharing this morning. It's so deeply appreciated. And what we sense from you is that there is a transformation occurring here at Lincolnshire, and it's exciting to watch. It has been a transformative spirit of joy, of anticipation, of what's going to happen next, because it's exciting. It's exciting to see what is occurring here at Lincolnshire. And you have been so instrumental in making the worship services meaningful, in making our messages and giving us ideas and telling us where you're at. So thank you, because you are what's making the difference. So far in our messages, so far this year, we have done prayer and praise. We have done one on brethren beliefs, the church and its purposes, the Psalms, the battlefield of the mind, and now the parables. So now we're going to slowly transition into a short series on angels that we may or may not extend. We'll see how things go during the Christmas and Advent season. There will be a little mild interruption between now and then. We have a Camp Mac historian who's going to come next Sunday. He will be here in the following Sunday after that. We will be doing global missions. And then, we have the Hanging of the Greens coming up. So it's just coming that rapidly. And in between all that is Thanksgiving and the Thanksgiving message. So I think if November rocks and rolls as fast as October and September did, hold on to your seats, folks. Buckle in. Because it has been exciting. It's been a lot of fun. Been very meaningful. We were giving our talk to the leadership last night, or Thursday night. And, you know, I said, you know, it's amazing. In just the month of October alone, we had two baptisms. We had a funeral. We had an anointing service. I said, for one of those to occur on a Sunday in a month is big. But to have three, and then to think just 2 weeks before that was a wedding, we have had much to celebrate and much to embrace as a community. So this morning I felt really led to speak about spiritual transformation as a precursor to our angel series. And I'm speaking about the power that is found in spiritual transformation that only takes place in a community. It's like when we talk about synergy. You know, we know that greater movement is made forward when it's a group and a body that's making it together. And this spiritual transformation, when it's within a body of believers, and it doesn't matter where it occurs, we're seeing it occur in our small collective groups as the shepherding groups already. We saw it in the grief group, or we see it in the church body as a whole. Wherever this change takes place, wherever the Spirit is moving, it's just almost impossible to overestimate the importance of community. The need to be together, to sense and know the spiritual change that's taking place. And it's not just about the busyness. You know, we can all be busy doing things. It's not that. It's the quiet sharing. It's those sweet embraces. It's that whisper of hope Those words of encouragement that you do so well, sometimes through cards, sometimes through phone calls, sometimes just talking and passing. When you open yourselves and you share the change that you are experiencing in your own life and with one another.
We look to Jesus and his disciples as an example. Jesus chose a spiritual community, his disciples, to accompany him on the spiritual journey on this earth. And he defined his spiritual community as those who are willing to seek the will of God, as seen in Mark chapter 3, verses 33 and 34. In Acts, once the Holy Spirit was left as a counselor after Jesus' resurrection, the church becomes a central hub of the Christian community. The disciples transform from being disciples or followers of Christ to becoming apostles. The disciples are never the same after Christ leaves God's word in their hands and in their hearts and to spread it to others. Disciples are the followers, but who are the apostles? As apostles, the disciples, that's what they transferred into, from disciples to apostles. Their primary function was to witness for the risen Christ. They were ones who witnessed, and they're the ones who are anointed by the Holy Spirit. They became the teachers and the preachers for the early church. They were the foundations and the pillars also of the early church. Now, the Apostle Paul is called an apostle, although he wasn't there at the time of the resurrection, but he had a spiritual transformation when he was on the road to Damascus, and therefore we consider him an apostle as well. It was seeking God's will that drew these very different men together. They ate together. They ministered together. They slept out in the open, whether it was good weather or whether it was bad. And they talked, they asked questions, they argued. Believe it or not, the disciples did argue. And they challenged one another. They stayed together under duress, conflict, betrayal, and even death, seeking to do the will of God and to become more like Jesus in the process. In the crucible of the community, they were shaped and they are molded to become the future leaders of the church. They were changed as individuals, and ultimately they changed the world through the inauguration of a new kind of relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. Three disciples were distinctly closer to Jesus than the rest: Peter, James, and John. These three witnessed the glory at the Mount of Transfiguration. They are also the three who were invited by Jesus during his most acute, painful, prayerful time in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was crucified. Let's look at the Apostle Peter for just a moment. As a disciple, his best times and his blunders are equally displayed in the New Testament. We know him to be one of the greatest spiritual transformations within the apostles. Peter was originally named Simon. It was Jesus who changed his name to Peter, which is Petra, as you saw this morning in pre-worship. Petra. He's known as the Rock. anyone who has ever traveled to Jordan knows of the rock formation that we saw this morning during pre-worship. A solid rock in which others could be housed, where others could find refuge.
So let's spend a little time focusing just on Peter for a while. As we know, he began as a fisherman alongside his brother Andrew, right? And we know the fishermen were known to be loud and boisterous, and sometimes even ill-tempered. Tempered sort of like the elements of the sea, up one day and down the next, and up the next and down the next. And perhaps that is why the two brothers, James and John, who were also fishermen, were called the sons of thunder, as found in Mark 3, verse 17. Now, Peter, as we know, oftentimes stood as the spokesperson for the 12 disciples. And sometimes that was for the good, and sometimes not. So as we look at the examples of Peter, and we look specifically at Matthew, the chapter 16, verses 21 and 22, we see Peter's boldness causes Jesus to rebuke him. In addition, it was Peter who denied knowing Christ three times. And still, it was Peter, as one of the three that Jesus took to the mountain of transfiguration. So you would think that here, Peter, with all his errors that he made and all the errors that Jesus knows that he is going to make, still Jesus honors him. Still, he values him as a friend and as a leader. So they go to the Mount of Transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John witness Jesus in human form meeting with two former prophets. And I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 17, if you will, in your pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 17, it's on page 18 in the back of the Bible in the New Testament section. Page 18, we're looking again at chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. Now take just a minute and skim down through those first few verses. And I'm going to have you start with verse 4. And just follow along as I go. It is Peter who says, and this is the same that Lowell read earlier, it is Peter who says, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And please note that Peter is thrilled. What a mountaintop experience. He is thrilled what he has seen. He knows without a shadow of a doubt that this isn't just something good. This is something magnificent, completely out of the ordinary. So being Peter, he can't stop talking. Read with me verse 5. And don't be concerned if your translation is a little different from mine. I'm reading from the NIV Zondervan Study Bible. Verse 5 begins with, while he was still speaking, well, who's talking here? Well, it's Peter. In the midst of this glory, Peter is excited and wants to shout his excitement, and he wants to do something great. To me, Peter is a bit of an action hero figure, don't you think? You know? He's all about action. He's all about doing. I love him for that. And this is motivation. We see a motivated Peter here. However, he's maybe going in the wrong direction with all his excitement, because it's not necessarily what God wants. It's not the path, it's not the action that God is asking Peter to take at this time. So again, starting with verse 4, we're going to finish the sentence now. While he, meaning Peter, was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son." Who does God direct it back to? Jesus, always, always Jesus. Not even the prophets, but to Jesus, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Then what does Jesus say, or God say to him, Peter? Listen to him. Listen to him. In essence, Peter, stop talking. Listen to what is being said. Have you ever been told that by a teacher anywhere, anytime in your life? Just stop talking. Just listen. Have you ever wanted to say that to someone else? Stop talking. Just listen. Verse 6, I love it. It continues on. When the disciples heard this, and this includes Peter, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. I mean, it's one thing to be rebuked by Jesus in human form. It's quite another to take it from God, okay? But Jesus came, and he touched them, and he said, "Get up. Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one but Jesus.
Let's leave the scripture temporarily to examine this whole situation. As disciples of Christ, you know, we will make mistakes. We will say the wrong thing, or we'll say too much, or we'll not say enough. God tells us through his word that we need to stop talking at times, and we need to take time to listen. I know that I've been there at times. I just need to listen rather than to talk. From this point, from the time of the Mount of Transfiguration to the resurrection, we continue to see Peter's glaring errors and yet his faithfulness we also see. Jesus sees Peter's potential. He sees his future and continues to disciple him with love, wisdom, and example. Upon Peter, Christ said that he's going to establish his church. It was upon Peter that Christ established the Christian community. You see, the one thing that we openly see about Peter at the Mount of Transfiguration is that Peter's heart is as big as his mouth. And because Peter's heart really is in the right place, because Peter desires to serve Christ the best that he can, Christ asks him to tend his sheep, meaning his followers. Now move ahead to Acts chapter 5. If you'd like to, in your pew Bible, it's on page 122. And we're going to be beginning with verse 12. The apostles. Note that they are now called apostles. They're not called disciples. They're leading as Christ had been leading. So let's start over. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. We're not talking about Jesus now. We're talking about the apostles. And as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid their hands on them. And they had them on the beds and the mats so that at least Peter's shadow would fall over them. Whose shadow? Peter's. We see a complete spiritual transformation from a man who was a rough fisherman, who was originally boisterous and oftentimes errant, rebuked by both God and Christ, now transformed into the likeness of Christ, healing others simply by walking past them in the streets.
This is what Christ saw in Peter. This is why Peter was chosen as one of the 12. This is why Christ built his church upon Peter, because Peter could be changed. He could be changed. Peter opened his life fully. He was on his face more than once. He was repentant, but most importantly, Peter kept getting up. He lived in the hope, and he lived in the knowledge of God's greatness and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And that's when spiritual transformation occurs. It occurs when we keep getting up. When we open ourselves to what God sees in us. When we stop relying on the opinions of others and we look to what God wants us to be. Do you think for a second that Peter would have believed any one of us had we told him as a seafaring young man, as an employee of his birth father, that he would not only meet Christ, but also Elijah and Moses, that he would hear directly from God, even if it was to tell him to be quiet, that he would be redeemed of denying Christ not once, not twice, but three times? Do you believe that Peter would have believed for a second that he would have been the foundation of the early church, and that Peter himself one day would walk on the earth as Christ, where others would lay their sick in his path, knowing the healing powers that coursed through his body, that his shadow would be enough to heal others? Do you think he would have believed that?
The Holy Spirit was sent in Jesus' place for a reason. Jesus could heal those who were around him. His power within the human body reached those who saw him, reached those who talked with him, and who heard of him. However, the Holy Spirit can sweep over a room, over a country, and over the world in just an instance. The Holy Spirit transformed Peter and provided the miraculous power that healed and transformed the believers into disciples, and then from disciples into apostles. The Holy Spirit works through everyone. Of all ages, of all races, of all nationalities, we can begin a spiritual transformation at any age. The beauty of spiritual transformation is when it occurs within a body of people, when we see each other changing into the likeness of Christ. It will come in stages, as it did with Peter. Imagine being friends of Peter or being Andrew, his brother. The brother of Peter who watched this transformation occur. But it is not Andrew who becomes one of the main three, even though Andrew was the one who brought Peter to Christ. It was not Andrew who was invited to be at the Mount of Transfiguration. It is not Andrew who has God or Christ talk to him directly as he lay flat on his face. Can you imagine how many times Andrew looked at his brother and said in awe, "Wow, wow, God is really using you." And likewise, with no doubt, with the humble nature that Peter learned to accrue, Peter probably said that of Andrew as well.
I have to say that Paul and I have seen a shift in demeanor over the last year and a half. It's a shift of a joy that keeps growing and becomes more and more evident each week. It's a fresh determination to please God, to listen to the voice of God and not what others say. We are witnessing a spiritual transformation in this church, and we have heard from you that you sense and see it too. So let us strive forward in our faith. Let us allow the potter, our heavenly God, to change our clay forms into vessels that he can use. Let us continue to encourage one another to enjoy the community that is found in the body of Christ. Let us continue to live in God's word and work for his will. An author once stated this: "The path to spiritual wholeness lies in my increasingly faithful response to the one whose purpose shapes my path, whose power liberates me from the crippling bondages of my previous journey, and whose transforming presence meets me at every turn of the road." Let us meet Christ at every turn of the road. Amen.